Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
So I'm seeing this guy. Mm-hmm. And he has to have an outward girlfriend, and I don't like that. And it's gross, you know, like that he takes to events at the campus.
Oh, right.
And whatever. So, but while I was seeing him, I was also seeing this guy back in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, who was in charge of the Miss Lancaster County pageant because I was in it. And he was like 38.
Wait, you were in a beauty pageant?
It's a scholarship pageant, Judy.
Sorry.
It's what, a did prelim you... for Miss America.
So did you wear a bathing suit and stuff?
Well, yeah. Wow. I was first runner-up for Miss Lancaster County.
No fucking way.
81.
Are you fucking kidding me? That gets a bell just for...
Same year I had sex with a girl first time.
Oh my God.
Come
this
on,
is
that's
so
fun.
Exciting. This might be the beginning of part two because this is so fucking exciting. Wait, so you're up for Miss Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and then that...
Only
and
12 the, girls get picked, too.
And then what happens? Then if whoever wins goes where?
To Miss Pennsylvania, and if you
and
win
then
Miss
Pennsylvania,
you Miss America.
Wow, so it's like really
no, it's
big.
I had a big trophy somewhere.
Wow.
My mom probably,
okay,
you know what I mean? And I got in it because you could win scholarship money
right.
if you got in the top five.
Wait, so did everyone in town now go, oh, the slut is...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, yeah, because then now you're in a parade the weeks before and you're sitting on the back of a convertible and
so
waving.
So when you go back, is it a whole different...
Oh, honey. I just went back for my 40th high school reunion.
Oh,
I go up
God.
Into the little room and all the girls that were the cheerleaders and the girls that were a little bit more elite and had money and stuff like that came flying at me.
Oh, right.
Like I was their best friend.
Right.
And were on me all night. I'm going to take my husband. He's just as understood. You know, like all this.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff.
I get that shit all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember every fucking nasty
everything.
Shit thing they said
I'm thinking
and did
it
to
while
me.
They're saying
like,
stuff to me.
I don't even, I just don't, I, oh.
Yeah.
It's
like,
awful.
I remember when you mocked my pubic hair when we were
right.
in gym class when I was standing beside you at a locker because.
Right.
You, yeah, I remember
so
everything.
So if there are any kids listening, I'm just letting
we
you
remember.
Know. No, I'm just saying that all the people who's who are in high school and are the most popular, that's their peak. That's
yes, it.
Is. That's
oh
the
my
end
God,
of their.
So is.
Yeah, and that's it. They're done.
Yes.
And you have a whole life ahead of you
where
without
you
these fucking small-minded people. Yeah.
It's,
okay.
That's so incredible and so common.
Yeah. So okay. So you graduate college.
I wanted to move to New York.
Right.
We couldn't afford it. I was with a girl by then.
Wait, you lost the Lancaster. You didn't become Miss Pennsylvania.
Oh, that was my junior year in college.
Okay. Yeah. That done.
No,
okay.
I didn't become. No, I'm, no.
But
I was
were
like
you
first,
done
my,
with beauty pageants?
Oh, yeah. I didn't like the pageant so much.
Yeah.
It was my junior year in college. I was sleeping with the guy, the administrator. I was sleeping with the guy who ran the Miss Lancaster County pageant. Mm-hmm. And I was sleeping with another, and they were all named Dave.
Really?
I was sleeping with a guy from Pittsburgh who mm-hmm. was a friend of some family that
right.
family friend that we knew because he was when I met him we were both I think 19 and he was a virgin and I just couldn't deal with it. I'm like, right. oh my God, come on!
Now,
I'll show you.
What kind of birth control did you use?
Just those regular little pills. I went to Planned Parenthood.
Where?
Did we talk about Planned Parenthood? They help women. It's a whole thing. It's not like a big expensive thing.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah. We just talked about that. Yeah, I can't.
You should do more research about them. I think you'll love them.
All right. So you become a bartender.
So I'm sleeping with three guys named Dave.
Okay. Sorry.
And this girl named Linda comes to every night of my plays, any play I'm ever in, brings me flowers every time.
Okay. What were some of the parts you were,
in college, I didn't get that much. That's one of the reasons I was so angry too about I didn't do too well at school is... I was thought of as a dancer.
Uh-huh.
And so they wouldn't give me like parts because I wasn't an actress.
Right.
That's how they used to.
Pigeonhole everyone.
And it wasn't a good program
or anything.
You know what I mean? And so I was in all the musicals and I choreographed them because I told them I lied and said I had taken extensive classes.
Back in Philadelphia. Right. You're a good liar.
Oh, honey.
Okay, wait.
I don't do it anymore, but it used to be my best skill.
So Linda is...
So Linda comes, and she's not a theater person. She's she's there playing basketball and softball. And she would come to all the plays. And then one night she says to me, it's absolute, she goes, my team is having a kegger at my apartment off campus. I want you to come. And I was like, I don't know what any of those words mean.
Right.
No. And then, so I went to her party, but I took my boyfriend, the guy I was seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
she this is true, absolutely true. Then she went, oh.
And he was the only guy there?
Yes. It was just a whole room full of the softball and basketball team, mm-hmm. girls playing quarters.
Right.
I didn't even know what that was. And so she walks out on the front step. She says, I have to talk to you. And she goes out on the front porch with him. And I'm just standing there with these women who are, you know. And he never came back. He said, I don't know what she said to him, but he left. And I guess she said, I'll drive her back to campus or whatever. I think told him it was an all-girls party.
Right. So then he goes back. And what
so
happens?
I stay at the party, and they teach me quarters. I wasn't a big drinker.
Right.
I hadn't done all that shit yet. You know what I mean? I didn't care.
And did you feel different in that group of women?
Well, I was, no.
Oh, okay.
I was I had a lot, I did not enjoy that part of it because I was wearing like what I thought were cool jeans. Or probably slacks. And I had a sweater tied around. I was trying to be preppy. I thought it was so cool.
Right.
And they were all in sweatpants.
Right.
And sneakers. I didn't even own a pair of sneakers.
Uh-huh.
And I had tons of makeup on. Remember the blue eyes?
Yeah.
And they didn't have makeup on. And they were freaked out by me completely. And Linda was like, oh, I want you to meet everybody. And I'm an extrovert. So that wasn't it. But they didn't want to know me. They were like, because they were all closet lesbians.
Right.
Right. And they knew me as the girl who's sleeping with the administrator
campus.
Right. That's all. And she wanted me to be there. So I was there and I stayed. Did you ever see that? What was that movie? If These Walls Could Talk?
Uh-huh.
And they take a girl and make her into a femme in that scene. I had the exact opposite happen to me that night. The girls took me into the bathroom and
took your makeup
on a sweatpants suit with
that
little stripes.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, yeah. Like Joey Buttapuco.
It hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
I was like, I like being a girl.
Right. Okay. So then.
Okay. So then she says, it's late and everybody leaves. It's like 3 a.m. She goes, oh, I can't drive you back to the campus because I'm so. And she's never had sex with anybody or anything. She's just following her feelings. Right.
Right.
And she goes, you're going to have to stay here and sleep here with me, you know, or not with me, you know, whatever. And so back then she was stealing HBO. Remember when you used to like TVs and you'd screw them up. And so we watched one of those really super scary movies back then. It was like 1981. So it was like Halloween or
Wednesday.
And she got really scared. She goes, you gotta sleep in the bed with me. And I slept in the bed with me. And so then I made love to her. Oh, no, that was the first night, too.
Wow.
I just thought about
that. And was it different?
I'm a whore.
I know. Was it different? Did it feel?
Oh, yeah, an orgasm. She had never even had sex with anybody.
And you go in, you're like,
and
okay.
And she goes down on me the first time she's ever gone down, and I have orgasm. I'd had sex with, like, what, six guys by now?
Right.
Seven? And I was faking it like a porn queen.
You know. And did you, at that moment,
I went back to my room the next day and just was like,
what happened? Yeah,
oh my God.
But did
I think I'm lesbian.
Okay, did you, and then your boyfriend who was kicked out of the party, what happened? He came in and was like, what happened at the party?
Oh, I think I saw him later that day or whatever. It wasn't a big deal. Yeah. But then I was seeing three guys named Dave in different parts of Pennsylvania and a girl named Linda.
And
I did that for like almost 6 months or something like that. And then I went, I'm a lesbian. I am completely a lesbian.
Wow. And
that's it.
And you never slept with a guy again.
Oh, no.
That's
I broke
amazing.
Up with all the boys. And we
did you
and
come
and
out to anyone?
Everyone. I started a gay group on campus called Guy Act.
See, gay this is the activist part of team. Suzanne Vestenhoffer.
Scandinavian.
Yeah. You embrace your sexuality.
Oh, my God. I was like, and everyone needs such, to know. And this is, we're going to change the world.
And you know what? That is an attitude that takes so many people so much time to. But you,
I feel like
because.
That personality trait, maybe, though. Is
no,
that
but it's also.
That?
Don't you feel like it's also because you were the piranha?
And you were
like,
I already got treated as badly as I was going to get treated.
I've been humiliated.
Right. What are you going to do to me because I'm lesbian?
Right. So, I think that sort
that
of gave you strength.
I think so too.
You become a bartender.
Then I moved to Jersey.
Yeah, where?
Right, Richfield Park, right beside.
Yes.
You know, right beside Fort Lee.
Yeah, because I'm from New Jersey.
Okay. And I loved New Jersey. It was the weirdest thing. Within months of living there, I went, oh, these are my people.
Right.
Girls who do makeup and
hair. Oh, my
God.
Can I say something?
I was so happy.
I grew up in New Jersey.
And they were aggressive. Girls were aggressive.
I live in New York. I've lived in New York more than I've lived in.
Yeah.
But I am a Jersey girl. I can tell a Jersey girl immediately. They're outspoken.
Yes.
They curse.
Yes.
They are unapologetic.
Right.
And there's a lot of lesbians from New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can't, when I go back in high school and I think so many lesbians. Okay. So you become a bartender.
At the Houlihan's in Secaucus.
Right. Okay. And
I know. Jealous.
I am. And your friends, are you doing any acting? Do you have headshots?
My
Do you
partner
have a resume?
And I, she would get all freaked out and nervous.
Linda.
No.
It was now
Sorry,
who?
No, I went for her coach. Now I got Katie. And
Katie
I get Katie,
the coach?
Katie. Hey. And I get her to move with me to Jersey. Well, because we got found out my last year on campus, and that was bad because of lesbianism, not age
or anything like that.
And she was being threatened that that she might get fired or get brought up because she'd be an open lesbian.
Right,
1981. And so she was going to get a job at William Patterson.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So we went to Jersey and she had trouble when I went into New York for auditions and stuff like that. She felt left alone and lost and abandoned.
She really struggled. It's needy.
And so I did nothing.
Okay.
And it was easy to do nothing because it was also terrifying because I would go in there and I didn't know what I was doing.
I was just
reading backstage and going, what am I supposed to do? Right? You know what I mean? I did for like a
and
year or so.
Talk about humiliation.
Oh, horrifying.
Okay. So you become,
a bartender.
And you're sort
and
of
all of
doing
a sudden
your
I'm,
act.
And I'm, do, and I'm also doing really well as a bartender. I mean, I had a wait for people to sit at the bar at lunch instead of going into the restaurant when they only had, you know, an hour, 2 hours, because they liked me so much, they had so much fun with me.
Right. And, you know, I often think bartenders are, you know, are
psychologists.
Yeah, psychologists and listeners. Yeah.
Do good.
So your audience then comes in at 12 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
You do a set for 2 hours.
I do. Well, till through happy hour back
through
then.
Happy
I used to work
hour.
Through happy hour. Yeah.
And then your friend suggests, oh, why don't you do stand-up comedy?
Here's exactly what happened. It was the beginning of 1990. And I was...
Did you know who I was at that time?
I did. I think I knew you. I think I had known you. Because I was going into clubs to go to... I loved comedy. That was
right. Because I was already...
But I just never thought in any way I would... I was an actor. Huh?
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, because I had already begun my...
I feel like I saw you even on, like, not Comedy Central, but it could have been...
A&E.
One of those little.
Yeah, it was Caroline's Comedy
Hour.
Yeah.
It might have been.
Yeah. So I had already begun. Yeah, with my fucking Spit Curl. But I had already begun in like 82.
Yep.
You know, so, okay, so.
So I'm like, I'm not thinking about being a comic or anything, but, I was an activist. I was in, I was in ACT UP, and then we split off to Queer Nation.
Right.
And I was a lesbian Avenger.
Right. Yes, I remember.
I only did that for a brief time.
And I have to say, this time, the mid '80s, through the mid '90s, you know,
it's like a sweet spot for homos to be.
But it was sad. I worked at God's Love. We deliver. I worked at all the AIDS rights.
Pause.
Yeah.
I know all those things.
ACT UP.
First AIDS walk ever.
I worked there.
I did it. So that, right. Yeah. And you're like. No one even. It wasn't.
And I wanted. You just wanted to touch these people because total, no one.
And
would
they weren't
touch
allowed
them.
To touch. Yeah, that was the whole thing. Oh, yeah, it was a different
sad.
Time.
It makes me so sad. Okay.
And guys would die in like a minute. Oh, that's how it
and
felt.
We're and
they would show up at a club with like a 20s. Sore on their neck, and then they were dead.
I know.
Like, oh my God.
Thank you, Ronald. Thank you.
Yeah.
Ronald.
So I was having on this big activism thing or whatever, and somebody said people would come into the bar and they would go. You're funnier than this guy I saw on HBO last night because HBO was killing it back then. You know what I mean? And I would go, oh, whatever, you know. And so this guy who was like a regular came in and he was talking once and he says, well, you should just do it. And I go, what am I going to do? Go in there and I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to go in there and go, my boyfriend and I.
Yeah.
That's not my style. I wouldn't have been able to do that.
Right.
And he said, I said, and I knew about Kate Clinton because I knew women's music. So I knew that, and she would always be doing the shows
and
with them.
Kate Clinton, by the way, legendary.
Basically the first open lesbian comic of any.
First lesbian comic.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, for sure.
Without
unapologetic.
Doubt. Right.
New act,
but
every,
she wasn't doing TV or clubs yet. She wasn't able to. They weren't, yeah, And so, and I don't even know if she wanted to. And I knew that if I was going to do stand up, and this guy challenged me. He basically said, "You should do a stand up." I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm not gonna lie. And he goes, "Oh, why? What are you not gonna? You're never gonna get another bartender job?" And when he said that, though, it hit me. I went, "Yeah, what am I?
Yeah,
I try
why
it.
Not? Yeah."
And then I got all activist about it. I'm going to go in. I'm going to get up in the regular clubs just like regular people. And I'm going to be openly gay and I'm going to change the world. I never thought I'd be doing it for a living or have any success
now, had
it.
You seen Bob Smith at this time? Because Bob Smith
By this
had
time
been,
I had seen...
Bob Smith had
so
been
only,
out.
Within that few months, I'd seen Funny Gay Males, I'm going to say a handful of times with Kate Clinton.
Right.
Certainly. Those kind of things. Absolutely.
Well, I have to do one of these for Funny Gay
for,
Males.
Jaffe.
For Jaffe Cohen.
Yeah.
And for Bob. Bob's kind of Jewish.
Yeah, he's like a honorary.
I miss you, Bob. I miss you. Okay, go ahead.
He was such a good guy.
Yeah.
So I went in, the first thing I started to do was go and hang out with a handful of comics. Like, I met this guy, and I forgot his name, Ron, whatever. But, he was like telling you stuff, like always go with another friend, and you go to these open mics, whatever. And then the first time I tried it was July 31st, 1990. Oh my God, is that my 29th anniversary? Yeah, it is.
All I have to say
is... Oh my God, it is.
Happy anniversary.
Oh my God, I love that. I didn't even think, I was like...
Wow. Okay, and so...
Yeah, it's my 29th.
So you go up,
They had a little contest at Kelly's, which was Kelly's a cabaret.
Wait, is Kelly such a lesbo name? Kelly!
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And do you remember, see her? Down there in the West Village on the corner, right by the duplex and all that shit.
Yeah, I was doing stand-up. Anywhere I did go
and
to happy hours on Wall Street.
Oh, they had it at bars
everywhere.
And restaurants.
Everywhere. And street fairs.
Yes, everywhere.
Yeah.
And so I heard about the contest and I thought, okay, I'm going to do it. And I didn't know anything about what I could do yet. So I memorized the three minutes of what I thought was hysterical comedy. And I went to their open mic, but it was an open mic contest where they would have everybody applaud at the end who was the best one.
Right.
And they were like, 15 comics, 20 comics got up. Everybody did 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And I won.
And who do you, well, Mazel Tov, but who else was there? Anyone?
I'm not positive exactly, but I can tell you that within weeks, I was, Sarah Silverman, Kathy Griffin.
No, not Jewish.
Oh, yeah, close. There are a handful that have done very well. Do you know what I mean?
You know, I love Sarah Silverman. Yeah. And
we did not think she was going to do well.
Really?
Kathy was going to do well. And both of them were so nice, especially Kathy. She was very sweet to me. But you know what I mean?
But can I say something about Sarah Silverman?
Good
this
at
is
all.
How much I love her.
We had a friend, Carol Henry, who died of AIDS.
I remember Carol. Yeah. Oh, yes. I knew her, too.
Yeah. And she was
the, horrible.
She was. And, you know, she was estranged from her family. So we were very close friends. And there was just like four of us that would take care of her.
Yes.
And she when she died, it was so funny because all these people showed up at her funeral that we none of us knew.
Yeah,
from her drug addict days and everything. And we were like, oh, my God, Carol, you just kept your life such a secret. But I remember Sarah was new. She came to the funeral. She was, I just remember her.
Oh, that's,
you know, because a lot of people just didn't show up. And she, yeah, she's a really good person.
I knew her, and she was always super
sweet
to me. But
my kids are in love with her.
I don't think we ever ran around together.
Hey, everyone. You know what I just did? I tore, I poured, and I enjoyed a packet of Liquid IV. Because I love Liquid IV. Liquid IV is a major part of my life. And I just worked out with my trainer. And I had a delicious lemon ginger Liquid IV. That one has a little extra. That has a little green tea in it. And so that's a little caffeinated. So I enjoy that because I needed it today. And, you know, it's getting warmer out. And what does that mean? Summer. Oh, God, please come. It can't come soon enough. And that means you have to hydrate. And that's what Liquid IV does. It hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. And it has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in one little stick. And that's why Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. Okay? And I love it. I use it every day. Ben's basketball team uses it. It is a science-backed formula that works. It keeps you hydrated. And they have sugar-free. They have sugar-free packets in white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime. Okay? I didn't do the sugar-free. Okay. But Elisa does the sugar-free. So what are you going to do? You're going to stay hydrated because it's very, very important. And Liquid IV has been a longtime sponsor, and I love them, and they are a quality product. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's JUDYGOLD. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, can't even say my name, at liquidiv.com. Got it? You're welcome. Okay, so you win the contest and you start going
to
clubs.
And I think, oh, I was going to do this. And so I...
Well, once you do well, you think, oh, I'm going to be on
this.
The Tonight Show
next week. And so Kevin Downey Jr. and myself and another straight gal who remembers the Stonewall riots because she and her husband were in them.
Right.
You know, typical raised in, you know, New York people. We went around to all the different places that you were allowed to get up, like Gladys's Comedy Room, you know, whatever. We went
Comedy
and got
U Grand.
All everything. Oh, my God. You're killing
me.
I've forgotten a bunch of these things a little bit.
Comedy U Grand.
Comedy U, I forgot.
A Green Street. There was Upstairs. What was that?
That's the one upstairs is the Gladys's Comedy Room, wasn't it?
Yeah,
because it was a lobster restaurant, and you'd be doing just sitting, and they'd be there to crack in the...
I did. You know what I did? One of the first times I did stand up, after I graduated college, because I had done it in college, and then I stopped, and then when I graduated and moved to New York and was doing it, was at an Indian restaurant in the middle of
sounds so familiar.
It was in the 40s. I remember that's where I met Jim David, gay, not Jewish, and I remember he did a bit of. He was a cat. He was doing his cat cleaning himself.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so
nice
funny.
Tip.
Yeah. And then there was a bug zapper above the stage.
I've done this place.
And it would be my parents came. Oh, I'll never forget my parents came.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But we would do anything. So, okay.
Oh, yeah, you did. You did anything. Well, you weren't getting paid or anything. You were just trying to get good.
You got $5 on Thursday nights at the Women's Night at Comedy U Grand.
$5. It took a while.
I'm not sure I remember that.
Yeah. Okay.
I just remember that it cost me to come in over the bridge.
You'd make no
money. I was already out of money.
Yeah. And people think like comics make so much money when they do sets in the city.
Even now, they have no idea.
$75
But the clubs don't play anything.
Yeah, 100, 125. All right.
I did, and then I did it for like it was about not quite a year. And the whole thing about making money, I don't remember how I found a lot of this out, but I was always out there. You know, you're being aggressive and you were meeting people.
Right. Just stage time.
If you did the duplex, you made the money that they paid at the door.
Right.
And but you had to have an hour of stand-up, which I had right away for whatever reason.
Right.
And so I did the duplex.
But you feel like your hour was a real hour?
It was.
Really?
I was good fast, but I think it's because I was the
telling
whole time
stories.
I was bartending. Yes. And think about what I was doing. I had been bartending for 10 freaking years.
Right. So you were...
I think I'd already been practicing and didn't realize it.
When you bartended, did you, you know, your prep for bartending, is it similar to your prep for going on stage? Like, do you you know, like before I go on stage, I check my, you know, we write,
yes,
we do.
Yes. And it's the
Were
same
you
sort
like,
of,
what am I going to talk about today at the bar?
I don't know if I did that. No, because I'm very extemporaneous. You know, that's my thing. I don't think that part, but I think I remember, I would do things like I would come in, I'd be cleaning and you're cutting fruit and all that stuff. And I would go, oh, and the guy who was on Jeopardy, he's always comes in on Wednesdays. I want to make sure I ask him about. And
But
yeah, I do remember that sort of weird OCD stuff.
Okay. So you start doing sets, you come up pretty quickly.
It was
like a
boom.
Right.
I never middled.
Right. You're so lucky.
I know it. I'm not.
I remember my.
Because I went from running around to those clubs to headlining at the duplex in a year.
Right. That's amazing. I was doing.
That's fortune.
I would MC for years. Then I went on the road as a middle so that I could get the stage time. And I hated it. I was so miserable. And then I was working with the amazing Jonathan, and he said, "You want a headline? You have a closer that no one wants to follow."
Right.
And that's when I started doing the, and I am telling you.
Oh,
when
that's brilliant.
Used to tell
I didn't
them,
know that. That's awesome.
Because I used to lip sync all the time.
Good.
And I did.
You're like, I got one.
Yeah. So my HBO special, the end, they try to get me. They would flash the light. I'm like, I'm not going. And then I did a short version. Anyway. Okay. You end up
a good story.
Getting.
I started hosting that contest too.
Right.
It was so fun.
So mid-90s. 94, you and Bob Smith, who, rest in peace, I love you, I think about you every day, and there's a butterfly, I'm not kidding, that flies around here, and when I'm playing tennis, and it's, I swear to God, it's the same butterfly, because it looks, and I feel like it's Bob. Okay. Anyway, you and Bob Smith are the first openly gay...
They do it on purpose. Chris Albrecht, who was running...
Yes.
He says, I'm going to do... some gay comics, and then it was Carolyn Strauss who ran everything.
Yes, Carolyn Strauss. Who,
oh yeah,
lesbian.
She
and
to get an extra thing for gay lesbian,
right?
Or Jewish gay lesbian.
Yeah, she gets two. Okay.
They went on purpose, and they spent like 6 months looking for one gay guy and one gay girl, each one to do a half hour special. They were going to break into that.
Right.
And I was not the woman picked.
Who was?
I can actually tell this now because she and I have spoken about it a lot. Margo Gomez.
Really. Mm-hmm. And why didn't she end up doing it?
There was an earthquake in California in 1994.
I remember. Yes.
And I came in a few days later and opened for some of the women lesbian folk singers. And because people couldn't travel, Carolyn Strauss and her partner had to go to this stupid concert. That's what they thought. That's how they talked about it, right?
Carolyn
and I come out and I do the, I do the 30-40 minutes before the actual musicians. And that night she went, oh no, we picked the wrong girl. We're going to use Suzanne. I didn't know any of that.
And did this, you didn't know until when? Until Marga told you?
Oh, no. I'm going to say a good 3 to 4 years later. No one ever told me. I didn't know that was true. Marga knew, and to her credit, never said a word to me and treated me always fantastic.
Love you, Marga.
Can you imagine?
No, I can.
Yeah, she's
actually
a better person. But when I found out, we met up somewhere and we sort of hashed the whole thing out. And she was like, you know, it was really painful, but then she got picked up by William Morris and did Sphere or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So she had some really awesome things happen.
Right. Everything happens for a reason. Okay. So you and Bob have these
specials
and it was groundbreaking.
It was a, nobody, yeah. Yeah, I was like,
and no one was doing this. I
Yeah, it wasn't like we rose to the top. It was like there was literally, how many other women were doing openly gay comedy at the time? I'm going to say five.
Right. I total? Didn't come out until my Henry was born. I came out, so it's 96.
Oh.
I came out because I started talking about, I had so much material.
You had, you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, but that people would say to us. So I kind of came out as a gay parent.
That's good.
And you came out. And you ended up, you did Letterman?
That was actually way later. That was 2007, I think.
That's amazing.
And he hadn't had anybody on who was open
right
until that time. And he didn't have anybody on, not really till the end. He wasn't super supportive of the gay community.
Or women. People with vaginas. And your career at that time.
Boom.
Right. Now, after that, right after Bob Smith was the first
on
network television
on the
Tonight Show. Bob Smith was the first openly gay performer on a network television, and he murdered.
But again, I never got asked back to Letterman.
Right.
Followed up. And what hurt me about Bob's too, well, this hurt me from our HBO specials, but with Bob then immediately going on the Tonight Show within like months later, weeks. I thought the gay press and the gay community would just like be so stoked, and we would nothing. It was like it didn't even happen.
Right.
It really hurt my heart.
There's a thing that we share too that I want to talk about, but I just, you know, you never faltered from your convictions, your activism. You have said that you're only comfortable in your own skin when you're on stage. I can't fake it.
I can't have since you came in 96. That must have been
you know, and
like
it was so interesting. I was talking about my mother and stuff, and I was in a relationship, but I really had no jokes
about
being gay.
Yeah, but you could now.
Right.
Oh my God.
And then when I had kids, I was like, fuck it. What kind of mother am I that I'm like, listen, we're not going to talk about. Yeah.
Correct.
And I came out and, you know, you had already been here in Provincetown. I started working in Provincetown in 92.
You'd been to Provincetown, though.
Right. I had started working at the post office in 92, and everyone was like, is she gay? Is she not gay?
No, because I met you in 92.
Yeah. And then I was gay to
everyone.
Everyone knew I was gay.
Yeah.
No, I was kind of out to all my friends, but I didn't talk about it on stage. I talked about my gay friends.
But no one did.
Right.
It's not like, oh, and you're hiding this thing.
You were fearless, and Bob was fearless. And Kate was fearless, and Reno was fearless, and Marga, and there were so many. What was his name who died? The little...
I loved Frank.
Frank, yeah.
Maya.
Frank Maya, yeah. There were just so many, and these people need to be...
There actually weren't that many.
Yeah. Okay, so... And I came out in 96, which I know had an effect on my career, but I don't really fucking care because I wasn't going to lie about it. I know this is true for you. You work a lot of gay stuff, but you also...
Oh, yeah. I still do the straight clubs.
Right. You also do a lot of straight clubs.
Yeah,
and I know that with Bob and you and in the late 90s and the early 2000s, when all of these councils and groups and GLAAD and HRC and Family Equality Council and all this stuff, you know, there was only a handful of us that were
that
hosted these things.
Until they started to get famous people that came,
but
then they didn't want us anymore.
Here's the thing, is like we were
there. Never forgotten that.
Yeah, this is what is sort of sad to me. And then when these people who have already become successful billionaires and millionaires
come out,
it's like, let's get this one. Let's get Robin Roberts. You know, let's get...
Look at GLAAD. GLAAD was worse because I would go and do something at a GLAAD event. And then when they started getting huge, I remember when they were a fold-over thing that came in the mail, right?
Right.
And actual famous people came to the GLAAD event.
Right.
Then they didn't want me anymore. Trevor Project, same thing.
Right. Yes, Trevor,
When it was nothing, I hosted it for the first 3 years.
All the nascent... we were good enough.
When it got famous people...
Right. It's not that they were famous. It's that they...
They were also heterosexual, 90% of them.
Right. And they were allies. And it wasn't you know, it wasn't that risky. I have a gay brother. I have a gay this. Yeah. I have a gay that. So it's like, oh, let's use them. And now when people decided, because... of all of us, you know, that were out and took the shit, that it was safe.
Oh, yeah.
Now I've made my money. I don't have much to lose, really. I mean, of course,
no, they didn't.
You know, Now we're going to use, and it's so time. Like I want to.
They were brave,
right? And I won a GLAAD Media Award in 2007 or eight or for one of my one person shows. I have not been invited.
Oh yeah, no, me
to
either.
The GLAAD no. Awards. I hosted them.
I know, I know. I did too. The, I met Barbara Walters that
right.
way. My
and,
God.
And the the center, the center in New York.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm not even invited to the women's. I was such a part of that women's night. Nothing.
That's painful. I don't understand, get invited to it either.
But I've also noticed.
More.
Yeah.
I think now I'm starting to think, is it because it's, I think it's really starting to happen since I turned 50. I feel like.
Oh, please.
Forget about it. It's like you're invisible.
You're invisible. Mm-hmm. There's a show. There's Bob. He just flew by. There's a show on Showtime, Women of a Certain Age, where they took women over. And I.
Oh, we're.
And I just, I can't. I feel like I can't. I don't want to be put in, oh, here's a group of women. They're over 50.
You're right, yeah.
You know?
I am,
But guys over 50 who are comics, they're just guy
means
comics.
Nothing. Means nothing, yeah.
Oh, it's so infuriating. And it's also that our community, it was LGB, then it's LGBT, better, you mm-hmm. know, has now factioned off into so many different, yeah. like, it's amazing that, you know.
Got a couple Qs, we got I's, we got
don't,
plus signs.
We don't want gender. And yet the men,
it's still the patriarchy.
Yeah, the men have their organizations,
exactly,
that they,
and their bars and their clubs and
right.
everything. Oh yeah,
it's just yeah.
They're not. When you say we don't want gender, if you're watching closely, they don't want women.
Right, right.
And when I say women, I mean regular, real women.
Right,
the way
right.
we act, not like when we're being Marilyn Monroe.
Right,
right.
And I've been in situations where I have heard gay men disparaging women and lesbians
and lesbians.
And
theater.
I thought,
I
was just like, oh my God, we were there for you. Like, we're all the same. Like, how can you, you came out of a woman. What the fuck? Like, there's a whole other faction of, you know, misogynist men who are straight, but you think misogyny is really from a straight guy, but it's not.
But it's from gay. Don't you remember, even in New York, I remember first in Fire Island in New York is going to, if you tried to go into a lesbian or a gay guy bar, and they would stop you in the front. Do you have three pieces of ID?
Oh,
who has
yeah.
three pieces of ID in the world so that they could keep the girls out?
But you know what was funny? The cubby hole.
I love the cubby hole.
And they're like, what? Who are you? You know, like they were. Yeah. It's like if we
do
the
same thing. I knew the bartender, so I just floated in.
Right. If we do this, if we behave like them, we're
oh, yeah.
cunts
oh,
and bitches and yeah.
You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Before we go, how long?
I feel like we've been talking for an hour,
we have
like 5 hours or
an
something.
An hour 20, bitch.
Oh my God, I'm sorry.
I love you.
I can't help it. I feel like-
Yeah, this is my podcast.
We have all this in common too, and you and I have never really gotten to talk about a lot of this stuff. Some of it is 20 years ago. We have been friends and known each other
right.
nearly 30 years. Like, you know what I mean? We've been through a lot, but we were on the edges of each other's lives.
Right,
so it's not
right.
like we ever hung out overnight.
Right,
a bunch
and
of times
I ended up having kids and that's-
It's a very different
yes. Yeah, but we've always- been aware of each other and respected each other. And yeah, that's what I love.
And we never fought or had any weirdness,
no.
which is great.
I try not to have fight and weirdness with anyone.
No, me too. But you know, there are people who are crazy who are in comedy too. I know. And it might be me. But yeah, you know.
First of all, you recently had an accident.
Well, it's a couple years now.
When we were on a cruise together right before. Before you had it. With Melissa and Tish, yes.
Before?
It was before. Remember, you were your leg was hurt, your back was hurting.
Oh, my God, honey. Yes, I do know.
And
I
then,
forgot that was before.
Yeah, and then you were at dinner. You went outside to have a cigarette.
No, I went outside to get the car from the valet in LA
right.
with my other my other friend, because my girlfriend and her girlfriend were in paying the bill, whatever,
right.
you know. And I had, I don't know what, no, I've had a million test, so I don't want to hear everybody talk about it, but I passed out for whatever reason. And so all 150 pounds of me, I face planted on the cement. So I cracked my head and my girlfriend had to do, she had to run out and do CPR.
Yeah, I this was such
I
a
trip. I can't. That, right. Can you imagine that? Someone you love?
Janine,
you're right.
She's amazing. Your girlfriend's amazing. And I remember getting the phone call and I was like, oh my God. And I remember everyone calling your sisters.
Yes.
And yeah, and I sent you slippers, I think.
Yes. That was very cool. I think you were the only one did that. I love that.
What
happened is I hit my head and so I cracked, my brain bled.
Right.
And I broke all the bones behind my nose and my eyes. And so I was in a coma for a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. It was a whole thing.
Yeah, it was horrible.
It was pretty bad. I don't remember so much of it. Whereas for my girl, I think biggest trauma.
Oh, of course.
Maybe like the second biggest trauma of her whole life. Yeah.
Okay. And you're still together.
Yes.
And you recovered. You recovered.
I did. I have a TBI that's called a traumatic brain injury. Don't make it so dramatic.
Right.
But, I have things that I'm aware of or that I adjust.
Like what's
in
different?
Life.
What's different?
Sometimes I have irrational fear.
Oh,
and I
please.
Just push through
that's
it.
Just being Jewish. Okay,
well,
go ahead.
Oh yeah, I am 2%.
Yeah, that 2% came out. It probably
that's my 2%.
Invigorated.
Now I have a short term memory loss for like quick things.
Like what's the last thing you forgot?
Oh my God. Where you live. Everything about
I
where
know
you live.
You've been
where
here.
I've been many times
here.
Everything.
Right.
I literally walked out of the thing here. And how many times have I been to Commercial Street and in P Town?
Right.
And I
and
just,
Eddie
just, like
you
an hour
came in and
I walked
Eddie's
in. I've known Eddie for years, probably
for
15 30, or 20 years.
No, I think more.
Okay, I'm thinking. Yeah,
yeah
easy.
Yeah, maybe,
right.
My yeah.
Yeah. And I walk in and I know his face, but I couldn't think
and
of him.
You're
at all.
Like,
I
hey,
didn't
honey,
know
and I go Eddie.
You said and Eddie Safferty's dog is here too.
Yeah. So the dog was at the
door.
Yeah.
Oh, Eddie. Yes, of course. And it's not like he doesn't. Look the same. It's
right.
Not that. It's 100%. Yeah.
Well, he's way older. No,
well,
I'm kidding.
I'm way older.
We're all older. And you've adjusted. I mean, your biggest fear was that you would forget your act.
Well, because
and
I was
not
in a coma
funny.
For so
yeah.
long, then they told my girl that she might have to learn how to walk, she might have to learn how to talk, she might not remember. You know what I mean? So as soon as I got home and it took a long time. I had like for me, I thought it was a long time because it was like 5 weeks of rehab. And then I wanted to get on stage right away to make sure that I could still do it. Because there were so many things I didn't know.
Right. And you did.
Or couldn't remember.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure. Yeah.
It's like music.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
You know?
And music really stayed with me, I got to tell you. Because I forget a lot now.
Well, you go to Alzheimer's patients or
that's
dementia
right.
patients. You play music and they're...
And you want to, I don't know if you ever heard this story too. This is my favorite. When I was in the coma, Jay stayed with me the whole time in the hospital.
Yeah.
So when Melissa and Tish came out and gave her a break.
Yeah.
One night.
I love Melissa and Tish.
She,
I love
me
you.
Me too.
Yeah.
Jay sat beside me while I was in the ER in the coma and sang to me at night.
Oh. Because
she thought if anything gets through,
it'll be music.
Right. So she's kept, and she said there were, one night she could only remember the words to this Adele song, which is really a Bob Dylan song.
Right.
That one. And
oh yeah,
yeah.
Make me feel your love.
And she said, so "I just said I sang it over and over again for like 2 hours because I couldn't think of it."
And I bet the nurses were like, "Oh my God, shut the fuck up!"
She would never, right?
So your resilience really got you through, and here you are. So now, what are you?
It's changed my life a lot, though. So I feel like yes, it did. You're right because I'm still performing, I'm still working, everything's fine. But there's and I lost friends. Which then you don't think they weren't friends. But I think of myself as like each day going, okay.
Yeah, it changes you.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You, you're still doing gigs all around the country. Yeah. And you're on the Stephanie Miller show a lot.
No, I'm not going to be on that as much. She stopped using me. I like,
why?
She's a good friend. I don't know. She has her, it's her, look, she does, what she does is brilliant. And
yeah.
Monday through seriously, can you imagine
I kill
it?
Myself,
okay.
Yeah.
And her whole life is that show.
Right.
Because she has to go to bed every night at like 7, you know what I mean? So I was on for like, I want to say about a year and a half, 2 years. I was on as much as I could be.
Right.
Like she wanted somebody to be on Friday mornings. Well, when you're a comic, that's what I'm traveling.
Oh, right. You can't. Yeah.
And so I missed a bunch of times and then I was in a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. And so I just don't think she felt like she could get a groove.
Right. Because, you
and
have to
take
the work.
I kept saying, have me on Tuesday morning. Have me on Tuesday.
Yeah,
and she didn't want that. And
because
it's her
she probably
show.
Has each
right.
day
and
set. Said, yeah.
And it's her show and she's so good at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she's great.
And yeah, so I'm not.
And she's skinny.
Yeah. And she's open now.
Yeah. I always ask my guests two questions. because we're
Oh, like the Proust interview?
Yes. Number one, we're very pro mental health. I suffer from anxiety and depression and whatever, OCD, you know, whatever. And mm-hmm. I've been on medication.
And you got to do stuff because right. you can't, yeah.
I work out, I meditate. Yep. Have you or ever been or are you on antidepressants?
No.
Never?
No.
Wow. Fucking A, that's amazing. What do you do for your...
I don't have depression.
I know, but what do you do to, you know, you say you have fear now and you have, yeah. Oh. What do you do to keep mentally healthy?
Well, I have to say, since the accident, and I had a whole bunch of surgeries up there because I had another weird accident, but whatever. Right. I do less physical, and that I've been trying to change because I'm doing so much better with my back, my leg, my 12, all that stuff, that I'm trying to get that all back now. So I would have to be honest with you because I haven't been in therapy for like, I'm going to say 3 years, but I've been uh-huh. in therapy forever.
Yeah, same. Starting
when I was like, you know, in college.
Yeah.
And, but I... Probably nothing specific right now because I'm coming back so big.
Right, I mean,
I'm coming back this whole year. I'm walking again. I'm
right. It's just amazing.
But I mean, like I'm out and I'm doing something.
Right.
So
you're free.
Yeah. But I feel good.
That's great.
I'm now kind of fortunate that way.
The name of the podcast is Kill Me Now because as you know, you've known me for years. I say
you
that
always say.
All the time because I fucking like get so annoyed over. And so.
And you've. Always been like, saying that.
Right.
And you've always been that. Yeah, you have right. not changed your percent. I love that too.
Well,
you haven't become anything different.
Please.
I love it.
So I ask every one of my guests what pisses them off more than anything, like that makes you so fucking, and it could be anything. It could be anything where you're like freak out. Like, you know, for some people, it's like you have 13 items in the 12 item lane. You know, like what fucking makes you crazy?
Him and I, when people talk and they say, her and I went down to the, and they have like the worst grammar ever.
Oh, yeah.
And in every other way, they're a perfectly normal person,
right.
maybe
her and I.
Education. and it makes me want to just spit blood on them.
Right,
it's
right.
just like I get so.
I correct the grammar of my hate mail people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the funnest thing to do.
Brilliant.
Like, what's the worst offense?
Her and I, because my girlfriend's from Long Island and uh-huh. so her family's from Long Island and my family does it too. There's and I don't think it's like a sort of area of country where people all say, oh, well, her and I went, her and I'm like, it's like, I can feel like,
right.
I have to kill you.
Right.
She and I, it's not so hard.
Right.
And that her thing, I told Janine when I met her, I said, just don't ever say her. Every time you think, just say she, you're going to be right more than you are.
Right.
Than the other times.
That's so funny.
I know. But I don't want to, I'm a little bit of a grammar Nazi, I guess.
No, that's great. And who knew? Because you're not German now.
I know, right? But I went to college on a grammar school. But yeah, and my grammar isn't even perfect. There's right. just some of these things are
yeah,
just so
you know
horrible.
What happens?
They make you sound like such a fucking piece of white
right.
trash.
Right, so like
don't.
When I hear someone say like a racial slur, like I'm done.
It's,
like I,
yeah,
that's
you're
it.
Done.
It's
oh,
like
yeah,
when
no,
I find
I
out if someone's a Trump supporter. You know,
oh, no,
I'm done.
Funk.
But that's fascinating.
But I would say the thing, I'm very much, you know, I'm very much like that about the racism thing though, don't you find like it's shocking when it comes at you and it's women or it's white
right,
women
right.
who are lesbians. You're like, do you know?
You know, we were at
the
beach.
There was so much bigotry against us.
We met these, Elisa and I met these two guys at the beach. And we were just, I don't know, we kept moving back and forth because I'm neurotic. There was a dog and then there was a baby and I was fuck it. And they're like, oh, how come you're moving? And we just started talking to them and ended up hanging out with them. And one of them was like making these anti-Semitic remarks or asking me questions.
What?
And I was trying to be, you know, explain stuff. And he was like, well, tell them that they're all snotty down in Florida or something like that. And I just couldn't fuck like, and that
so gross.
Like you're with me. I happen to be a Jew. Elisa happens to be a Jew. You're having fun with us. Like,
why are you even thinking that?
Right.
Where'd
it's
you go?
Just like Jew.
It's like
it's like homophobia.
Still being homophobic,
yeah.
And you just want, and I, you're like, it's 2019.
Right. And like, what does me being gay have
right.
to do with you?
Your whole life.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I feel like that. That particular anger, though, is so old and been
right.
gone so long
and,
that I'm just like,
stupid.
Yeah.
Ignorant. Where can people find you, social media-wise?
I would say mostly on Twitter because I
and
dig
spell it.
Oh, D-W-I. Oh. I think I do S-Z West. I think it's
that.
But I'm the only Suzanne Westenhofer, so right. You're always going to get me. But
right.
I think it's S-Z for Suzanne and West.
Yeah.
That's how you find me on Twitter, I think.
Okay, at S-Z West. Where are you performing? This will air after.
Oh. Wait. No, I do know one thing. Wait, August 10th, I'm out in Fire Island.
Oh, that's fun.
And August 9th, I'm in, there's some hotel that has comedy, a cabaret in it now in Manhattan.
Oh, the 42?
Yourtown, yeah, whatever that is. I'm going to be there on the Friday the 9th.
Wait, it's called the Yotel.
Yotel.
Yes. Yeah, they have a green room. It's called the green room. It's great.
Cool.
August 9th,
and then that August 10th, I'll be out in Fire Island.
Let me tell you something. Guess what happens on August 9th? My son, Ben, turns 18.
You're going to lose him. That's it. He's out. He's had enough of you.
I know.
But he's been waiting for this for 2 years.
Yeah, I know. I can't thank you enough, Miss Westenhofer.
You're going to have a son that's 18.
I have a son that's 22.
Oh, that's right. But my whole life just went like...
I know.
Because we were talking about it. So he took us back to like
right.
P-Town 92, watching the Lesbian Lounge Lizards after... you know what I mean? It's just like all of a sudden I went...
Oh my God. We're old.
Right?
We're old.
Basically what happened.
Thank you, Suzanne Westenhofer.
Thank you, my dear.
You are a doll and a half. I wish you only the best. Enjoy the rest of your shows in P-Town. Look, follow Suzanne. She's great. She's fucking hilarious. And she's a pioneer. She's a pioneer woman.
Yep. Without a buggy.
Yeah.
Come on. That's harder.
Yeah.
Just say it.
And as we always say, so long.
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.